Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Invisible Chains, Overcoming Coercive Control in Your Intimate Relationship by Lisa Aronson Fontes, Ph.D., narrated by Joelle Ann Jacob. About this book. This book discusses relationships where one person dominates and intimidates another in an abusive process called coercive control. These relationships usually are not all bad. Coercive control often feels like love. Passion and companionship can exist alongside threats, punishment, isolation, and even physical violence. Coercive control is a special kind of torment because it happens within a relationship of strong personal bonds, hopes, and dreams. Coercive control continues over a period of months, years, or decades, unlike a one-time assault by a stranger, for instance. Coercive control wears down a victim's autonomy and sense of well-being over time. Between the direct acts of control and possibly violence, a victim lives in fear. The distress is ongoing, even during periods that seem calmer. Women can certainly be as bossy and jealous as men. However, for reasons discussed later, coercive control almost always involves a man using a range of tactics to hurt, threaten, degrade, and isolate his female partner. Coercive control does sometimes involve a woman as the oppressor and a man as the victim. It can occur in relationships involving gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as well. This book is designed to assist all people who are controlled by their partners, whatever their culture, age, gender, or sexual orientation. The pronouns he or she, him or her, become quite complicated if used in every sentence. Most of this book uses pronouns that describe the more common situation of a man controlling a woman. Coercive control among LGBT. The initials LGBT are used here to signify people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The language we use evolves constantly. I hope those who identify as queer, asexual, pansexual, and so on will be able to find themselves in these pages as well. People, and in relationships where women dominate men, are the focus of Chapter 5. This book includes both everyday and extreme examples. Some of the subtle forms of coercive control can be hard to detect and may feel like love when they first appear. For instance, a woman may feel flattered that her partner wants to be with her at all times, driving her to work, meeting her for lunch, and accompanying her when she shops. Family and friends may commend her for finding such an attentive mate. He insists he is motivated by love and concern for her safety, so she pushes aside the discomfort she feels about never having time alone. His frequent texts during the day sometimes interfere with her work. On several occasions, he grows angry because she doesn't respond promptly to his calls or texts, or because she spends time with a friend without asking him first. Then he begins to check her cell phone and upsets her with his constant questions. While no one of these acts, in itself, appears overly alarming, they build up over time. The woman becomes less and less free. In contrast to these ordinary acts, the more extreme examples included in this book are obvious signs of abusive control and may prompt one to ask, why would anyone put up with that? Chapter 4 explains the dynamics that keep women in relationships where they are controlled and victimized. The examples in this book are all based on real situations, although I have changed identifying details to protect privacy. They are drawn from my work as a psychotherapist, community activist, workshop presenter, and researcher, as well as personal conversations in many settings. Some of the examples come from my own experience as a former victim of coercive control. This book is divided into four broad parts. Part 1 describes coercive control, the ways it shows up in some couples, and how it affects victims. Part 2 seeks to explain why some people use coercive control against their partners, and why it is difficult to break free. Part 3 discusses coercive control of LGBT people, heterosexual men, and teenagers. Part 4 offers strategies and advice for ending coercive control. How to use this book. Use this book in whatever way works for you. Some people will want to thumb through it and take a look at the stories. Others will want to listen to this book in one or two sittings, over the course of a day or so, from beginning to end. Or you might prefer to start with whichever chapter seems most relevant to you and listen for a few minutes each day. You could choose to keep notes separately or record your reactions to the book on some notepaper. If you are currently in a relationship that includes coercive control, make sure you keep your book and notes in a safe place so you will not be punished for having them. This book may trigger upsetting memories in people who have been physically, sexually, or emotionally victimized. Please take care of yourself as you listen to this book. Seek help from others, or pause the book for a while if you feel triggered by some of the stories here. Who I am and why I wrote this book. I have a doctorate in counseling psychology and specialize in difficult family issues. I have been at turns a psychotherapist, researcher, professor, trainer, consultant, and activist in the areas of child abuse and violence against women for 25 years. In the course of my work, I have spoken with professionals and community members in settings ranging from a church in Ohio to a shantytown in Chile to a hospital in California. I have trained physicians in Massachusetts, police officers in Pennsylvania, military social workers in Germany and Texas, firefighters in New York, and psychologists, social workers, nurses, and advocates across the United States and Latin America. I have worked with parents, grandparents, and other caretakers in volunteer organizations, in psychotherapy, and in their own neighborhoods. I am the mother of 3 young adults. I have also listened. I am no longer a practicing psychotherapist, but when I was, I listened to women and men of all backgrounds describe their relationships. I have had the privilege of conducting research and networking with people from all over the United States and the world, especially with people who speak English, Spanish, and Portuguese. I have worked with refugees. The books, articles, and chapters I have written are widely cited. However, my greatest lesson in coercive control was deeply personal. After my 25-year marriage ended, I entered a relationship that became increasingly controlling over time. From those few harrowing years, I found out what it means to be subject to another person's whims. I experienced directly the fright of being stalked during the relationship and after ending it. Even with a high level of education, knowledge of violence against women, a steady job, and a strong network of friends and family, I felt utterly trapped. I grew to appreciate firsthand the dedicated professionals who help people survive and exit these relationships safely and recover. My friends and family helped me regain my balance. I learned how very long it can take to recover, and I learned that recovery is possible. Evan Stark's groundbreaking 2007 book, Coercive Control, helped me understand what had happened to me and to many women and a few men whom I have known over the years. I felt stronger as I learned names for the traps that had confined me. I began to see patterns where previously I had seen only separate, painful moments. Stark's book is directed at scholars in the field and has prompted a whirlwind of interest in coercive control. To help this important concept reach a broader audience, I have written this shorter, non-academic book. I developed advice for people who are being victimized. I created sections on same-sex couples, teenagers, male victims, and people in the military. I coined the term coercive entrapment to describe the most extreme cases of coercive control. I wrote this book to help people avoid being caught in a web of coercive control. Improve those relationships that can be improved, and disconnect from those that are toxic and will not change. This book also aims to reach professionals and friends and family of people in controlling relationships so they can understand and lend a hand to people who are being victimized. No one should have to struggle alone. This book highlights the need to raise boys to become men who will treat one another and the women in their lives with kindness and respect, rather than violence and control. It shows why we should never be asked to give up our freedom and self-esteem to be part of a couple. In the interest of caring, supportive relationships, please continue on. Part 1. What is coercive control? Criticism, isolation, threats, sometimes even physical abuse. These are the weapons of coercive control, a strategy used against some people by their intimate partners. It usually includes some combination of degrading, isolating, micromanaging, manipulating, stalking, physically abusing, sexually coercing, threatening, or punishing. A relationship that should involve loving support ends up a trap designed for domination. Victims feel anxious, dependent, and afraid, deprived of their freedom, self-esteem, and basic rights. Chapter 1 introduces coercive control. Chapter 2 describes its far-ranging tactics and their effects. 1. Introduction to coercive control. When 23-year-old Lily's boyfriend Dave started quizzing her about where she had been and she caught him examining her phone, she decided Dave was a jerk and broke up with him immediately. Dave texted her several times a day for a couple of weeks, and once she saw him sitting in his car outside her workplace. But that was the end of it. Mandy, age 35, did not see her situation so clearly. After the whirlwind courtship in which Tom showered her with cards and flowers, Mandy married him. Then he started asking Mandy for details about how she had spent her day, with whom she had spoken, and for how long. Tom complained about how much time Mandy talked on the phone with her mother and sister. They had their first real fight when Mandy arrived home with short hair, and Tom was angry that she had cut it without asking for his opinion. She promised to grow it long again. It seemed as if nothing she did pleased him. Over time, Mandy noticed fewer loving moments and felt increasingly anxious about Tom catching her doing something wrong. With two children at home and feeling worse and worse about herself, Mandy felt trapped. Lily and Mandy were not simply unlucky in love. They were victims of coercive control. Coercive control strips away victims' independence, sense of self, and basic rights, such as the right to make decisions about their own time, friends, and appearance. Coercive control shows up in a variety of relationships. This book focuses on the most common situation, where a man uses coercive control against a woman who is his partner in an intimate relationship. Chapter 5 discusses coercive control in same-sex relationships and in heterosexual relationships where the woman dominates the man. Many men who use coercive control also abuse their wives and girlfriends physically or sexually, sometimes causing severe or even fatal injuries. Others limit themselves to slapping, pushing, grabbing, and other types of force that might look mild to outsiders who don't see how frequently they occur and the fear they cause over time. Violence is one among many tactics of a strategy of coercive control. Some men use coercive control without physical violence. Coercive control can sometimes be found outside romantic and sexual relationships. Co-workers and supervisors sometimes use coercive control at the workplace, and we find a similar dynamic in cults and other organizations, on sports teams, and in the military, especially during basic training. However, intimate relationships are especially ensnaring. The controller may have access to the victim around the clock and knows her daily routine. He may also know things about her that she has shared with no one else, such as her secret hopes and fears. She may have told him about experiences that she does not want to become public. He uses these secrets to control and hurt her. Outsiders may not be able to see the signs of coercive control in a couple. The men who use it often make a good impression in other settings. Much of society still thinks men's control over women is just the way things are, and that what happens in couples is their private business. All this adds to a woman's sense of being imprisoned by her partner. Victims. I am using the word victim here to stress the power dynamic. Those who prefer another word, such as survivor, should feel free to substitute it. Of coercive control often feel like hostages. Over time, being grilled, criticized, and shamed may come to seem routine. Victims often blame themselves as they feel despairing and disoriented. It can be hard for them to figure out exactly what's wrong. Isolated and humiliated, some women lose confidence and accept their partner's view of reality. They may have trouble deciding whether their partners are doing and saying hurtful things out of love and concern, as claimed, or out of cruelty. They may feel confused as they are told again and again that they themselves have triggered their partner's behaviors by doing something wrong. At the same time, to keep the peace in their relationship, victims may detach from family and friends, contacting them less and less often, until they lose touch with many of the people they cared about most. Unfortunately, the victims typically do not see the connection between their partner's control and their own isolation until time has passed. Losing self-confidence and close relationships at the same time can be paralyzing. Women who get caught in the web of a controlling man are no different from other women. They just had the bad luck to become involved romantically with a controlling person at a time when they were especially vulnerable. Once a controlling man has caught a woman in his web, he will do everything he can to prolong the relationship. Victims of coercive control come from all racial, ethnic, and religious backgrounds. They live in mansions, trailer parks, city apartments, and suburban and rural homes. Often, victims of coercive control keep up a happy front because they feel ashamed or because their partner demands it. Sometimes other people sense that something is wrong, but are not sure what. The woman may appear unusually shy, lonely, meek, or even disturbed. It may be obvious to other people that she is being controlled, or the control may remain perfectly hidden. People who exert control often look charming on the surface. To outsiders, they may even seem like ideal partners when they take over all crucial decisions. Some abusers appear eager to help others, friendly, romantic, and outgoing, while others seem mean and let their possessiveness show. There is no easy way to spot a person who will someday begin to exercise coercive control over his partner. When he first meets a woman he likes, a controlling man will often say he wants to support and help her. He may buy her gifts, listen to her stories, and offer her advice about her work and family. He may do chores for her. He may look at her with admiration and think of her success as an extension of his own. If she is with a man like this, a woman initially benefits from his caring and concern. Family and friends may comment on the positive aspects of the relationship, saying, "You are so lucky to have found this man. You will never find another man like him." A part of her may feel uneasy, wondering, "What will happen if I don't want to follow his advice?" She is apt to brush aside these feelings because she welcomes so much of what he offers. She will avoid making waves. The abuser has communicated that it is better to just go along with his ideas and avoid conflict. If a man acts romantic, charming, and supportive at the beginning of the relationship, his partner thinks this helpful man is the real him, and if she does things right, he'll go back to being helpful again. He may briefly return to his helpful self for a while, if this seems like the best way to maintain his control. Over time, things usually worsen. Some controlling men start to see the woman's success as competition or as somehow making their own achievements seem less important. Others insist that outside activities of any kind distract her from meeting their needs and attending to housework and children. Many become jealous of all contact with others, even of the time a woman spends with her family. Life becomes what is called a zero-sum game, in which whatever a woman gains in achievement, respect, or friendship is seen as taking away from her partner. The controlling man knows that if his partner grows and develops, she may refuse to put up with his restrictions. So, he begins to stand in her way. His supportive advice turns into criticism. He acts like an expert on her life and career, as if he understands it better than she does. He views all of her outside involvements as signs of disloyalty. A controlling man does not necessarily live with the woman he dominates. Sometimes he dates and controls her from a distance by stalking her and disrupting her work and her relationships with friends and family. Because coercive control crosses so many spheres of a woman's life, simply leaving or ending the relationship may not end the problem. His abuse may continue or even escalate after the relationship is over. A controlling man has many ways to impede a partner's progress. He blocks her access to the people and resources she needs to live her life on her own terms. He makes it inconvenient for her to study, discourages her from taking a promotion, or disrupts her work. He may interfere with her friendships and family ties, block her access to transportation, prevent her from learning new skills, and frustrate her attempts at self-improvement. Let's look at three brief examples of how coercive control can block a woman's advancement. Jocelyn wanted to take college courses when her youngest child started kindergarten. Her husband, Jay, wouldn't hear of it, although this had been their plan when they married. He told her she needed to be available for their children in case one got sick during the school day. He discouraged her so strongly that she gave up her plans. Christine decided she was drinking too much and wanted to give up alcohol. She told her husband, Ray, that she was going to stop drinking beer with dinner. Ray grew furious and accused Christine of trying to control him. On her first night without drinking, Ray refused to say a word during their meal. He accused her of behaving as if she was too good for him and told her he hated to drink alone. He offered a compromise. She would drink with him at dinner, but he would stop her when she drank too much. Christine gave in and drank with him. It just seemed easier. In this way, Ray pushed Christine to abandon a goal and made sure that her head was clouded by alcohol, hindering her ability to think about her future. Teresa was a rising star in her city's painting world when she began to date Samuel, who also painted but earned his living waiting tables. Samuel was romantic but moody. Once, when angry, he threw a book at a wall. When he shouted at her, Teresa felt afraid. After a few months, Samuel moved his supplies into Teresa's studio space so he could work by her side. Samuel insisted they not paint on weekends so they could devote themselves fully to each other. Teresa's painting suffered from Samuel's continuous presence and demands. In couples where one person controls the other, the person who is being controlled cannot reach her full potential. Her partner stands in the way of her personal and professional growth. She not only feels trapped, but she also increasingly adopts his worldview as her own, losing her sense of who she is as a separate person. The continuum of coercive control. No single act defines coercive control. A number of acts occur together, and a pattern develops over time. This book describes coercive control in general and provides numerous examples of specific acts. Certainly not all controlling men exhibit every behavior mentioned here in its worst form. One man cooks for the family, but restricts his girlfriend's friendships and forbids her to hold a job because of his obsessive jealousy. Another man takes away his wife's paycheck and controls every cent of their finances, but does not interfere with her friendships. One man rarely raises his voice, but often threatens his girlfriend with physical harm if she does not do what he asks. Another insults his wife and keeps her from seeing friends and family, but claims he would never hurt her physically. In coercive control, the abuser's moods, behaviors, and beliefs severely limit and alter his partner's. The overall concept of coercive control may describe a relationship, even if not every example of bad behavior applies. On the other hand, not every man who is bossy is guilty of employing coercive control. There are many degrees of bossiness, but if the woman feels actual fear, if she feels she must respond to his demands or else, then she is probably a victim of coercive control. If she avoids saying and doing things that are important to her for the sake of keeping the peace and avoiding conflict, then she is probably a victim of coercive control. In coercive control, the abuser uses threats, punishment, and criticism to limit his partner's access to resources such as friends, family, work, money, and freedom of movement. Coercive control exists on a continuum. Non-coercive, cooperative relationships. Mutual support and shared decision-making. Arguments may surface. Neither partner frightens, threatens, or punishes the other. The couple balances connection and autonomy in a way that benefits both people. Coercive control relationships. One person uses a variety of tactics to control his partner. She buries some of her desires, plans, and opinions to avoid conflict and punishment. She may resist in hidden ways, but grows increasingly isolated. She may experience physical and psychological symptoms. Coercive entrapment. Coercive control strategies are intensified by structural inequalities that further deprive victims of resources. The victim feels trapped, isolated, fearful, and threatened almost constantly. She may lose a sense of herself as an independent human being. Is someone controlling you? Do you feel threatened? Are you afraid to speak up? Is your partner constantly jealous or possessive? Does your partner try to limit your contact with family or friends? Do you work hard to avoiding provoking a bad reaction in your partner? Do you feel ashamed of things your partner does to you or makes you do? If the answer is yes to one or more of these questions, continue on. This book usually uses male pronouns to describe the controlling partner and female pronouns to describe the person who is victimized, because these are the most common coercive control relationships. However, in no way should this book be seen as casting blame on all men. Most men do not control their female partners in the ways described in this book. Many men respect their partners and support their interests and work. Increasingly, men who live with their partners share housework and childcare. Men are also becoming involved in the fight against violence against women. Some do this formally by joining anti-violence organizations, marching alongside women to take back the night, and speaking out in their schools, workplaces, and communities. Other men do this informally by telling friends, neighbors, workmates, and even men they do not know to knock it off and stop being rude or unkind to women. One may reject some of the terms used in this book, such as controlling, abuse, and victim. Even the term coercive control may feel uncomfortable. The word partner is an awkward way to describe a wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiancé, but it's easier than providing that long list each time. Please do not get caught up in the terms. If you can relate to a situation but don't like the term, feel free to substitute another word that you think fits better. Most important here is to recognize when one person's pattern of behavior is making his partner feel afraid and humiliated, with the consequence that she sets aside her own hopes and dreams just to get through the day without conflict. People in same-sex coercive control relationships will find that almost all of the content here applies to their situations, even though many of the examples portray heterosexual couples. Fortunately, it is possible for victims to break free of coercive control through their own actions, with the support of people who care. This book.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?